Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Bike James podcast. This is your host James Wilson, and excited to be back doing the podcast. Been experimenting with the webinars for a few months, and to be honest with you, just didn't quite pan out like I wanted them to. When they were good, they were really good, but the problem was my internet connection here isn't so great, so I would have internet, connection problems and lag, and they would drag out, get to be a little long. So I'm still going to do some webinars every now and then, but I'm going to get back to focusing on these podcasts. Really enjoy doing these things, and so I'm going to start trying to get these out on a regular basis, both covering subjects myself and then also interviewing people and trying to get some other insights and perspectives, not just on mountain biking, but also just kind of life in general. I mean, there's a lot more to life than just mountain biking, and we can learn a lot of lessons that help us in mountain biking by kind of expanding our horizons and looking outside. So hopefully be able to bring some stuff like that to you guys. In this episode, what I wanted to talk to you about was low back pain. And low back pain is one of those things that almost everyone in their life is going to deal with at some point. Unfortunately, we all think that we're never going to have to deal with it as we get older, and then all of a sudden we get older, and it pops up from time to time. And so it's one of those things that myself, I've had to deal with, and I've had to help clients deal with. And so in that journey, I've learned some really good lessons and kind of pinpointed some problems that a lot of us have, especially as mountain bikers, that are leading to the low back pain, and some solutions that you can use to help you get rid of it, or at least make it a lot less. And so anyway, that's what I wanted to share with you today. And so the first thing that I wanted to say before I get into it, first, obviously, I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a doctor, chiropractor, or anything like that. So I want to touch on the fact that there's two kinds of low back pain. And first is that there's something physically wrong, that you have a bulging disc or something along those lines, and a doctor or someone can point to an X-ray or an MRI and say, all right, this is what's wrong and this is why your back hurts. But the other look kind of low back pain, and the one that's far more common, is that nothing's really wrong, but it still hurts. And so, this is, again, they can't, your doctor, people can't point to anything in particular and say, okay, this is causing the pain, but the pain is still there. And so you're trying to find ways to manage the pain, even though no one can really tell you definitively what's wrong. And so what I'm here to help you out with is more of the second kind. And first, if you have low back pain, you should definitely have it checked out. Make sure that it's not the first kind, that there's something really wrong that needs to be addressed by a doctor. And if it is the second kind, that they don't have something specific to recommend to you, then you can take this advice into mind. And so the other thing to keep in mind with low back pain is that psychology and stress may also play a role. And this is one of those, like, don't quote me too closely moments. One of those, I read a lot, and so I read these studies or things, and I don't necessarily have the reference off the top of my head, but I've read several times that the low back pain has been connected to stress at work, just being unhappy with your job, things like that. And so there may be a psychological or stress related role in the low back pain as well, which kind of makes, again, what I was talking about earlier, making sure that we're kind of keeping a bigger perspective on things. So it may not be anything physical, it may be something that you need to deal with mindset and stress management wise that's playing a role. And so that'd be kind of the subject for another podcast there, but just kind of wanted to throw that out there, that if you're really stressed out and you hate your job and stuff like that, then there may be some other things that you need to address that before the low back pain and stuff will fully go away. So, but assuming that nothing is physically wrong and that you are managing your mindset and stress as best you can, then what's probably going on is you have some sort of mobility and or strength gap that's causing the problem. And these strength gaps and mobility gaps are basically causing bad movement or movement dysfunctions. And these movement dysfunctions place extra stress on certain joints. And so one of the things that's really important to keep in mind is that where pain is not necessarily where the problem is. And so again, this is, we've ruled out the fact that there's something physically wrong. And so we're in the second kind where there's nothing that anyone can point to. At that point, we're, chasing pain is not the thing to do. There's a guy named Perry Nicholson or Nicholstein, sorry, and he's got a really great site called Stop Chasing Pain. And, and he talks about this all the time that, as a physical therapist, he found that you can't, that chasing pain never really resulted in lasting results, that you may manage the pain for a while, but you never really got it to go away. And so the trick is to figure out, well, what's really causing the pain? And then let's address that. And when you're talking about a movement or strength gap and a movement dysfunction, or a mobility and strength gap and a movement dysfunction, then what you're usually finding is one joint that's not doing its job properly, and that's placing extra stress on another joint. And that's the joint that has the pain. So again, if you're just focusing on where the pain is, in this case, the low back, then you're probably missing what's actually causing the pain, which are this mobility and strength gap. So what I'm going to do is real quick before I do that, before I move on, I just want to add in that, sedentary living with too much sitting, and then a sport like, mountain biking or cycling in general that encourages even more sitting, and you have a time bomb. So if you have people that have these mobility and strength gaps, we're sitting too much, and then you take up a sport where you're sitting even more and you're placing extra stress on your body while you're sitting, well, again, like I said, this is just a ticking time bomb for low back pain. So it's really no wonder that it's such a kind of a problem at an epidemic level in the mountain biking world. So what I'm going to do is touch on what I've found to be the three main problems behind low back pain for mountain bikers, and then some solutions to these problems. So the first problem is poor hip mobility. And when you can't bend at the hips, you have to bend somewhere. Your body is going to, create movement. So if you're telling your body like, okay, I need to get down to the handlebars there when you're on your bike, well, if you can't bend at your hips, you can't fold at your hips properly, then it's going to bend at the lower back. And this is just a fact of movement. So whether you're on the bike or off of the bike, this poor hip mobility, your body's going to make up for that by creating more movement through the lower back to help you gain the mobility that you need, overall mobility you need to get into the positions and stuff that you're looking for. So, but the problem is these positions aren't strong and balanced. So even if you are able to, bend over and reach your handlebars, but you're bending, a little bit at the low back and some at the hips, well, that bend at the low back is creating an unbalanced, unstable position for your body. So, besides causing low back pain, this is also causing bad balance and robbing you of power and performance on the trail. So one of the reasons that mobility is so important. So besides poor hip mobility, you also have the second problem is poor core stabilization and poor hip strength. And when your core can't stabilize properly, and this kind of goes back to the mobility thing, and this is why mobility is most important, because your body will give up stability to gain mobility. So if you're trying to bend over and you reach the end of your range of motion of your hips, it doesn't matter how strong and stable your core is, your body will still disengage and give up that stability so that you can then move and bend at the core to, create the movement and finish getting down to, bending over and to what you're trying to do. And so the mobility usually has to come first, because your body, you can be strong and stable, but your body will give that up in the presence of bad mobility. So, assuming that we have good hip mobility, the second thing is this core stabilization and hip strength. And the core stabilization is just that. It's the ability to stabilize the low back, specifically the lumbar region of the core, while you are creating movement. And in this case, we're looking at the hips creating the movement. So if you don't have good core stabilization, then your core is going to be shifting and moving and not able to maintain optimal position, which one is going to be placing extra wear and tear and stress on it. And two, like I'd already mentioned, bad position also results in bad balance and robs you of power. So there's also a performance aspect to this as well. But then you also have the hips, and a lot of us just don't know how to use the hips properly, especially the glutes. From all the sitting that we do, the glutes literally get turned off. That, you know, we have glute amnesia, as it's called, and forget how to use them. And so when you can't use your hips properly, which are basically your glutes and the hamstrings where they you know, kind of join into the glutes there at the hip joint, if you're not able to use those two muscles properly to create movement at the hips, then again, your body's going to do something. And in this case, again, it's going to go back to the low back. It's like, it's no wonder the low back, it gets sore, because it takes such a beating if the hips aren't working right. If they're not mobile enough, it's going to bend too much. If they're not strong enough, then they're going to, you know, move too much and try and create force too much. And so the low back tends to be this this catch-all to make up for the hips not doing their job. So we want to get the hips strong, so that we can, you know, use them to, you know, to generate the force and not rely on the lower back. And then finally, problem number three is too much seated pedaling. And I could probably put this as problem number one. I mean, if this is, you know, people did nothing else from this podcast but took this away from it, that you're sitting down too much, and that seated pedaling is probably the main culprit for your for low back pain. I mean, if you think about it, you've probably seen the commercials or heard where people are saying that sitting is the new smoking, because if you look at all of the health risks and all of the bad stuff that happens to our bodies when we're sitting down, you know, and the stuff that comes from that, you know, if sitting's the new smoking, then what does that make seated pedaling? You know, I kind of had this tongue-in-cheek blog post a while ago about how seated pedaling must be doing, you know, bong hits of crack. If sitting down is just smoking, I mean, we're, you know, laying all of this tension and all of this force on our bodies while we're sitting down. We have this, you know, when you sit down, it disengages the core. Again, there's no getting around this. When you sit down, your core does not engage the same way and to the same level as it does when you're standing up. And so you have a disengaged core. You have a posture that encourages rounding at the lower back, which feeds into this poor hip mobility. If you have bad hip mobility and now you're sitting in this posture that encourages, you either need really good hip mobility or you're going to end up rounding at the lower back. And so disengaged core, rounded lower back, all of this stuff is going to add up to a lot of extra stress on the low back. And the number one culprit, like I said, is too much seated pedaling, in my opinion. So what do we do, right? So here's the problems. We've got poor hip mobility, we've got poor core stabilization and hip strength, and we sit down to pedal way too much. So what's the solutions? Well, solution number one, improve your hip mobility. And so when you improve your hip mobility, it's going to do a lot for you. A real big fan of mobility, especially as you get older. For us older riders, you know, in the 40 plus crowd or those who are quickly approaching it, mobility is the fountain of youth. This is what's going to keep you on your bike and riding well late into your life, and outriding the younger guys a lot of times in the process, is being able to move well. And so mobility involves things like foam rolling, so you're working on the knots and the tension levels in the muscles, static stretching, and also using dynamic mobility movements to restore quality movement. So we want to, you know, basically it's a three-pronged attack. We want to do some things to kind of, you know, get rid of the knots and adhesions in the muscles by using foam rolling or the, you know, tennis ball or some sort of self-myofascial release. We use static stretching in key muscles. You know, for us, a lot of times the quads and the hip flexors are areas of, you know, muscles in the hips, the glutes as well, that just tend to get really tight. And, you know, we're just trying to get them to relax. They're carrying too much tension already. And so static stretching helps to release that tension. And then finally, the dynamic mobility are full range of movement, you know, full range of motion movements that you're, you know, taking your body through these movements and trying to get it to just learn how to move better and integrate this, you know, the better, you know, if you've done your foam rolling and your static stretching and you've improved your potential for movement, now you do the dynamic mobility stuff to help cement that. So That's the kind of the three-step approach there for improving your hip mobility. And like I said, like foam rolling, really the quads and the glutes, hamstrings, doing some static stretching again for the quads are a lot of times the quads and hip flexors are some areas that can really use some static stretching for a lot of us. And then finally, dynamic mobility things, things like the frog stretch, things like the fire hydrant. There's all sorts of great dynamic mobility movements for the hips and stuff that you can use. So the but anyways, the point is focus on improving your hip mobility. Solution number two is improve your core stability and your hip strength. So strength training is used to stress proof your movement. Really, you learn how to move better in your mobility sessions. And then what you want to do is stress proof that movement because, if you can do a perfect body weight squat, for example, but as soon as I, tell you to hold a 16 kilo kettlebell and do a goblet squat, and all of a sudden everything falls apart, well, that movement isn't very stress proof. You can do it when there's no stress, but put stress on the system and all of a sudden things fall apart. So if you look at strength training as your ability to stress proof your movement so that when you're on the trail, you're able to push it harder and longer, and you're going to maintain your quality movement in the process. Again, it kind of takes on a different meaning than just, strength training for the sake of strength training. It really is to help make you as efficient as possible as under high stress situations and later into rides. And so, with the core stability and strength training, really the best thing to do, like deadlifts are still at the top of the list for me as far as helping people learn how to develop the specific core stability and hip strength that you need for seated pedaling and your attack position on your bike, which are kind of the two main areas that lead to rounded low backs and bad posture and low back pain. So the deadlift, single leg deadlifts, the kettlebell swing, if you have access to Indian clubs, the Indian club swings are awesome as well. So anything that works that hip hinge movement is good for helping with that. And core stability stuff, you can do core training, but again, we want it to integrate in with the hips. So that's why doing things like deadlifts, it helps address core stability and hip strength, and it does it in an integrated fashion like you want on your bike. So definitely having some core training stuff by itself is great, but just remembering that having a strong core in the gym is one thing, but having it stay strong while you're moving and performing the movements you want is another. And so that's what we need to focus on with our strength training in the gym as well. And then finally, solution number three is stand up to pedal more. And when you stand up, your core engages more and you can achieve better posture. This is one of the things that I try to work with people on that come to me for help is understanding that standing up is not just raising your butt off the seat and maintaining the same position. Like when you stand up to pedal, you need to shift your hips forward. You need to, get your hips under your shoulders and your hips over your feet, and then you can pull your shoulders back and down. So you can actually achieve, you're never going to get to like a fully upright, almost like running posture, but you will get to a much better posture than when you stand up than what you can possibly ever achieve when sitting down. So, this means that when you're laying tension on your body, you're now doing it with an engaged core and with better posture. And so the goal is not to stand up and pedal all of the time. This is kind of a confusing thing for people when I talk about this. The goal is to use standing pedaling for your high tension efforts and to use seated pedaling for your low tension and recovery efforts. Now, what are high tension efforts? I mean, honestly, if you've been riding for any amount of time and you think about it, you know what a high tension effort is. It's that moment where you start to have to kind of dig in a little bit and create some extra tension in your core and your body in order to keep the pedals turning. And at this point, most of us have been told and trained to, well, just downshift, just keep downshifting, sit and spin, sit and spin, sit and spin. And unfortunately, you're just laying a lot of tension on this, what basically amounts to the adult fetal position. And so you're cementing these positions on your body, and it's just not what you want. It's such a bad position for you to be doing that in. And so stand up more, and especially when things get hard, and then sit down for your low tension recovery efforts. And not only are you going to be a faster, stronger rider as a result of this, but you're also going to have a lot less stress on your lower back in the process. And now, real quick, just want to touch on this. The idea that you need to sit down for traction, it's a myth, all right? That's not actually true. Sitting down, especially on climbs, does not help you improve your traction. I've got a video on my blog called, What Really Happens During Standing Climbing, I believe is the video, and I use some bad stick figure drawings to show you how, when you're climbing at an incline, your seat, the angle of your seat is pointing into the climb, not down into your tire. So there's no way that having your butt on your seat and putting weight into your seat is pushing down into your tire, because once you start climbing, just all of the lines change with that. So the idea is you need to have a wedge, you need to have your weight spread out on the bike, all of these things you can do without sitting down. And so again, and not every climb requires just balls out traction either. So you can sprint up a lot of climbs and stay ahead of the traction if you're standing up and using some good standing pedaling technique. And so it does take some practice, but if you're using the other two solutions, you're improving your hip mobility, you're improving your core strength and your core stability, then it's gonna you'll pick this up much faster than you probably think. As far as getting better with standing pedaling. And so again, it just takes some practice, takes some time, but you'll get really good at it. And like I said, the two things that you'll get from it are that you'll be faster. Because think about it, if you have to sprint, right? If I was to tell you, all right, you got to sprint from here down to that line on your bike as fast as you can, and the winner gets $1 million, you're not going to sit down and do that. You're going to stand up and pin it. So standing up is your strongest, fastest way to pedal. It's also fun, I mean, when we were kids, we stood up and pedaled everywhere. And it wasn't until we were adults and everyone tells us, like, oh no, you don't know what you're doing. You had it all wrong as a kid. You need to sit and spin. And it's like, no, man, you had it right as a kid. Stand up and have fun. So anyways, now bonus solution number four. I've got a little bonus here. And this is to use moderate skills-focused rides to practice your standing pedaling skills. You can't improve your skills, and standing pedaling is a skill. That's the thing. Like, a lot of people just don't, seated pedaling is a skill. Everything you do on your bike is a skill. So you have to think about it like a skill. So if you want to get better at standing pedaling, you have to approach it like you would if you're trying to improve your cornering or your manualing or something else that we usually think of when we think about skills. Like, oh yeah, I got to devote time and effort to improving that quote unquote skill, but we don't think of standing pedaling as a skill. And so it's like, oh, I'm either good at it or I'm not good at it. And it's like, no, it's like everything else. You can improve it with practice. And so, you can't improve your skill, any skill, if you're always trying to pin it on every ride. And so using moderate skills focused rides, like, this is kind of one of the secrets to success, I guess, as a rider, is when you realize, like, you can't go out and just pin it every ride. And you need to have some rides where you go out and you're focused more on riding smoothly and efficiently and applying good skills to everything you're doing rather than just trying to ride hard. And so, my favorite way to practice standing pedaling is to lower my seat and leave it down. Just drop your seat, leave it there for, 15, 20, 30 minutes, and you'll get a really, really, really good feeling for what I mean by low tension versus high tension cardio efforts, because you'll have to stand up. Like, as soon as things shift into high tension mode, you'll feel yourself want to stand up, and you'll find yourself standing up during those times. And so it'll give you a better idea mentally of what high tension versus low tension is, and it also just forces you to stand up a lot more and get really good at standing climbing. So don't worry, you're not going to blow your knees out, sitting and spinning with your seat down, all right? Like, where people's knees get hurt is too much seated pedaling in high tension mode. And so again, like, your knees can't, this is getting a little off subject, getting into knees more than low back, but everybody's like, oh, we gotta, like, have a bike fit to get our knees at this perfect, almost extended angle and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, wait a minute, just stand up. What happens when you stand up? Oh, my knees fully extend. Right, exactly. You achieve full extension. Plus you get co-contraction of the quads and hamstrings, which stabilizes the knee. None of that happens when you're sitting down. No matter how bike fitted you are, no matter what, nothing you do can change this fact, which is that your knees are, not fully stable when you're sitting down. And so standing up is also going to take stress off of your knees as well. Most people are like, wait, standing up would put extra stress on my knees. And it's like, no, actually it stabilizes your knees. And you know, the extra stress is good stress that you want on your knees. And so, so standing up is going to be, or, you know, having the, your seat down and, you know, spinning where it's easy is not going to blow your knees up. What blows your knees up is trying to, you know, crank through hard efforts while sitting down. And, you know, maybe having your seat all the way down is going to speed that process up. But, you know, my favorite thing is if bike fits really worked, then why do you need a new one every, you know, year or two? You know what I mean? Like pain, something else always comes back, you know? And so, and then it's just like, oh, you just need a new fit. It's like, well, no, like you need to figure out a way to ride that doesn't cause these problems and these pains. And one of the main ways is to stand up more, which will take a lot of stress off your lower back and take a lot of stress off of your knees. So there you go. Low back pain, it doesn't have to be a normal part of riding or everyday life if you practice good movement on and off the bike. And you know, I'm not going to say that you're never going to have, I mean, as we get older, we collect injuries, and you know, all of us have some sort of strength and mobility gaps. No matter what we do, we're always going to have something. So again, it's not that you're never going to have anything resembling low back pain. It's that you'll be able to definitely minimize it, you know, improve it if you're dealing with it right now, and really not let it rule your life and be one of these things that dictates to you, you know, are you going to get to ride today or not? Well, you know, how does my low back feel? And that's not what we want. We want to be able to just wake up, and if you want to go ride, you want to play with your kids, you want to go do whatever, you know, without having your low back constantly be this this gauge that you have to check to see if you're able to do that, then following these strategies will really help you out. So again, just improve your mobility, improve your core stability and hip strength, stand up to pedal more, and really use more moderate skills focused rides as part of your overall riding strategy, which will also take some of the stress. I mean, if you're out there every time just pinning it, pinning it, pinning it, there's so much stress on your body. And again, you gotta, you know, manage stress. And so that'll help as well. But so that's it. That's my low back pain podcast. Just some of the lessons that I've learned. Like I said, both in helping myself deal with some stuff, and also, you know, personally for myself, I you know, was running a one by on my bike way before one bys were the thing, and I was doing it mainly because I was doing a lot of jumping and downhilling on the same bike, and I was tired of getting my chain thrown every once in a while. And you know, when you run a one by, especially on like a 35-pound free ride bike, you gotta stand up and pedal it. You have no choice. And it was just really interesting that I found that you know, the more I did that, the less low back pain that I had, and the better kind of my legs and my body felt, which was, you know, kind of counterintuitive. I thought that that was gonna like really make it harder on me. And so as I thought about it, I realized that's what was happening. A lot of it was just the standing up, the pedaling was putting my body in a better position. And so again, just both with myself and with my clients and stuff, I found these strategies to work. So hopefully you're able to find some good from them as well. And if you're looking for some help, if you need a program or something to help you out, I do have my 30-day low back pain solution. You can find it on my site at bikejames.com, and it's only 19 bucks, and you can get a 30-day program that will help you improve your movement, your strength, and also the skill stuff. This is kind of one of the cool things, is unlike a lot of low back pain programs for riding, I also address what you should be doing on the bike. And so really go, you know, got some cool videos and tutorials on standing pedaling, and also just kind of good body position on the bike overall as far as the attack position and seated pedaling and stuff. And so just help you understand how you should be applying this movement to the bike, which really helps. So again, you can check out more at bikejames.com. Find that, the 30-day low back pain solution, on the training programs page. I've also got a lot of free info there on the site. So if you're looking for a program, you know, I've got a free 30-day program to get you started. You know, got a kettlebell program, bodyweight program, you know, all sorts of free stuff to check out as well if you're just kind of interested in seeing what strength training for mountain biking can do for you. And last but not least, be sure to check out Pedaling Innovations and the Catalyst Pedal. This is my thing, been out for a few months if you haven't heard already, but the Catalyst Pedal is the first pedal of its kind where I sat down and I looked at, how does the foot optimally move, and how do we apply this to the bike? And so if you go to the website, pedalinginnovations.com, I explain more about how it works. Got a little video explaining more about the pedal, but it's guaranteed to improve your performance and your comfort, and offer a 30-day money-back guarantee on it, which is pretty much unheard of in the mountain bike industry. But just shows you how confident I am that this pedal will change your ride from the very first time you go out on it. So anyways, be sure to check that out. Again, pedalinginnovations.com. Check me out at bikejames.com. And hopefully you guys have enjoyed this podcast, and I will talk to you in the next one.